for me to chair this committee, and I'm looking forward to the working together with each of you and working through the challenges, certainly, of our budget, and we will be discussing some policy issues as we move forward. But my vision for the committee is going to be a focus on the budget. The first few weeks of the committee, we will be doing overviews and talking about the 12 different agencies that are under the jurisdiction of this committee, and getting an understanding, certainly for new members, of just how many areas are impacted by transportation and this committee in the state of Minnesota. Again, thank you for being here, and I think what we will do is start out with introductions, which is pretty typical, and I'll go ahead and start, and I think we'll go around the room this way. Staff, if you would introduce yourself briefly also, but if in your introduction you would tell us your district and, you know, maybe some key towns in it so we can kind of get a geographic handle on where you're from, and then also your interests in transportation and maybe a little bit about your background. We appreciate that very much. Again, I'm Senator Joe Gimsey. I'm from Senate District 13, which is all of Candiohi County, all of Pope County, and the western half of Stearns County. That's the Wilmer area, Glencoe, Sauk Center, and the I-94 corridor from Albany to the east. And as far as my background, I'm a residential contractor and land developer. And I also have a utilities background, which I was in pipeline maintenance for a number of years. So, and I guess we'll move forward.
My name is Patrick Murray. I'm the committee administrator.
Crystal Nibby, committee legislative assistant.
John Howe, vice chair, Senate District 28, runs from Red Wing down to Winona over to Wadamingo, Kenyon. It's Goodhue, Wabasha, and parts of Winona County. And went to school for criminal justice, actually took the written part of the post test, took some driver and safety training courses in college, and then I spent about 20 years with Sears, also worked for the Department of Corrections. So that's my background.
I'm Scott Dibble. I represent the key town of Minneapolis. This is my key town. So Senate District 60, which is southwest Minneapolis, the uptown area, the areas around the lakes, as well as the southern half of downtown. Been on Transportation Committee since I came to the legislature. I first served in the House starting 10 years ago. And been working on transportation issues all throughout my involvement in civic affairs and politics, going back to early days when I first became involved in politics. Rode the bus into work this morning. I use all kinds of transportation. My district has all kinds of transportation moving through it. So my interest is making sure we're getting the best return for every dollar that we spend.
Thank you. Mike Perry, Senate District 26, Faribault, Owatonna, and Waseca. Highway 14?
No.
Mr. Chairman? of course, we have Highway 60 and Highway 13 and a few others. Background, law enforcement. Licensed peace and police officer, left that business back in 1980, and so I'm somewhat up on transportation and the issues that we have there. So,
I'm Katie Sieben from Senate District 57, which is the Southeast Metro. The largest towns are Hastings, Cottage Grove, and South St. Paul. And the biggest issue in my district right now is the reconstruction of the Hastings Bridge, which is on budget, under budget, and on time so far. And the Hastings Bridge is the busiest two-lane bridge in the state. Had lower safety ratings than the 35W bridge. So it's obviously really important that that bridge is being reconstructed.
Hello, and I am Ted Lilly from Senate District 56, which is in central Washington County, 11 communities, including Woodbury and Stillwater, and a number of other communities around the area there. My background is I'm a small business owner. I own Lilly Suburban Newspapers, a group of weekly newspapers, have about 85 employees. I have been involved in a number of chamber organizations and have been involved in their transportation task forces and different situations like that. In our community, the biggest project is probably the Stillwater Bridge or the St. Croix River crossing that is being discussed and continues to be discussed, and looking forward to serving on this committee.
Senator Tony Laurie, Senate District 8, which is most of the I-35 corridor between Duluth and the Twin Cities, Cloquet, Moose Lake, Pine City, Hinckley, Mora, all those communities. My previous elective experience was focused almost exclusively on transportation issues with our town board of Carrick Township. We were responsible for the maintenance and oversight of 11.2 miles of dirt road and took it very seriously. It was actually very good work, and I learned a lot, but I'm looking forward to expanding my transportation experience. I'm certain there's much more than our 11.2 miles.
Next one.
Pam Wolf, Senate District 51. I have Blaine, Spring Lake Park, and Fridley in Anoka County, and Moundsview in Ramsey County. My background is I'm a teacher and new to the transportation experience here and looking forward to it.
Well, I'm Roger Reinert, Senate District 7, which is essentially the city of Duluth. So as a regional center, transportation issues are important to us. I came from the House where I served on the Transportation Committee there as well. Of course, in Duluth, we have an international airport, we have a port, we have cargo rail, we have the freeway, and we hope to have passenger rail at some point as well. So we touch on just about every transportation option in the state of Minnesota. Thanks.
Yeah. Benjamin Cruz, I represent Senate District 47, which is Brooklyn Park, Champlin, and Coon Rapids. Very excited to be on the Transportation Committee. My background is small business oriented. I worked in restaurants an overwhelming majority of my life, ran restaurants for 7 years. For the past 6 years, I've been running a real estate business, very involved in multiple chambers of commerce and groups such as that. Like I said, excited to be here. Have 169 and 610 are kind of the main corridors that affect my Senate district. That's about it.
I'm Senator Kathy Sharon. I represent Senate District 23, which includes Mankato, part of Blue Earth County, all of Nicollet County, which the major community is St. Peter, and a portion, significant portion, of Sibley County. Transportation is important in our district. As Senator Perry has always indicated, the safety issues on Highway 14 are critically important, as well as the issues of being able to move product to market. And there is a number of competing interests on this road that is unsafe between business and the safety of the people who travel for work or for high school activities. We also have 169 corridors, critically important to the regional center of Mankato and St. Peter. But I also am very interested in transit because we are having a great deal of difficulty having transit kind of services that move people throughout our rural part of the state for medical appointments and medical care. My background is diverse. I've served in local government and city government, and so I've been involved in transportation through that for a long period of time. But I also have nursing as a background. I was on a faculty at Minnesota State University Mankato, and also a partner with my husband in a small business that manages real estate throughout southern Minnesota.
I'm Al DeKreif, Senator from Senate District 25. It includes all of Le Sueur County, most of Rice County, not including Faribault and Morristown, southern Scott County, and part of Sibley County. The larger towns are Northfield, New Prague, Belle Plaine, and gets out into Arlington, Green Isle, Henderson, and Le Sueur. My background is basically twofold. Number one, my wife and I own Cicada Trail Resort down in southern Le Sueur County, but I also own a consulting company, and what I do is I specialize in obtaining oversized permits in the lower 48 states to move superloads. Most of these are large electrical transformers that get moved into power plants and nuclear plants. I've permitted loads in the country that have grossed nearly £1 million over the roads. If I have some interests in special interests in my area, we are predominantly a farming community, and with the ag community, everything is getting bigger. And we have to make sure we have infrastructure in place, not only for manufacturing, which I believe is important, but also for our ag community to make sure they can get their product to market. So where I have some limited experience working with rail, I have a lot more experience working in the DOT permitting process.
I'm Ann Rest. My district is number 45. I live in New Hope, and my communities in that Senate district are indeed New Hope and Crystal, Robbinsdale, and portions of Golden Valley and Plymouth. I'm a very strong advocate for transit initiatives, and very happy to see the corridor coming from Minneapolis into St. Paul going ahead. Support the Southwest Corridor, Red Rock, and the highways that are important in my community are 169 and 100, and in particular now Bottineau Boulevard. I was talking with some people earlier today about my background and characterize myself as a dilettante. I have spent my whole life doing things of interest to Ann Rest, and I will continue to do that.
Dave Senjum, Senate District 29, represent the north half of Rochester, northern and western Olmsted counties, and all of Dodge County. I often say Potsdam to Blooming Prairie. And so there's cities like Cassin, Manorville, Hayfield, West Concord, Claremont, and so on. Issues, well, maybe just to back up half a step, spent most of my life working at Mayo Clinic, 44 years, retired a couple of years ago, been in the Senate 8 years. Issues, and here we'll say it again, Highway 14 is part of my district as well, and so that'll be something I think that will resonate a little bit from some of us in the room. You may hear occasionally about the infamous 65th Street with Senator Murphy, love to love and love to hate, but we've talked about it, and we've talked about it, and we'll probably talk about it some more. Within my community, high-speed rail has taken on a lot of interest, Chicago to Rochester, Twin Cities, and so on and so forth, and we know that competes with the river route, and we may hear something about that. Freight rail, of course, is also something of interest, as and might be particularly more so if coal moratoriums are lifted and coal begins moving across southern Minnesota. But generally speaking, look forward to working on a committee. My district is generally dirt roads, so we're looking at to upgrade a little bit, Senator.
Very good. Thanks, Senator Central.
I'm Krista Boyd. I'm fiscal analyst for the committee. I represent half of your nonpartisan staff, and this is my sixth session with the committee.
I'm Bonnie Berzovsky. I'm Senate counsel, and I work in the Office of Senate Counsel Research and Fiscal Analysis. And if I could just say briefly, I'm available to all of you for bill drafting, for considering transportation-related initiatives, for drafting amendments throughout the session, to try to answer questions dealing with transportation law as they arise.
My name is Craig Sunday. I'm a researcher with the Republican Caucus, and this will be my eighth session with the Transportation Committee.
Are there any other staff? Yeah. You want to just introduce yourself real quick?
My name is Bob Koss. I'll be the committee page for transportation.
And Amanda?
Amanda Dewar with Senate DFL Research.
We'll take a moment, to have Paul Gazelka, Senator Gazelka, introduce himself.
Thanks, Chair Ginsley. I thought I might be punished for being late, and I won't let it happen again. But I'm Paul Gazelka. I represent District 12, which is the Brainerd, Little Falls, in fact, Royalton, all the way up to Nisswa, which many of you come up into our country, and we appreciate that up there. I was in the House in 2005 and 6. My whole life I've been in business. I love business. I like the opportunity to help create jobs, and it's what our state needs, so I'm very passionate about that. I had the opportunity to serve on transportation in the House, and so I think this will be a good committee to me. I'm passionate about making sure that we have good roads and bridges. It makes the world go round. So good to be here.
Thank you. And then I'd also like to mention my vice chair is Senator Howe from Red Wing, and the lead Democrat is Senator Dibble. And a lot of experience there, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Just a quick note on some information that you have in your packets as far as the our attendance policy. Just we are going to start at 1 o'clock and be done at 2:30. We have an hour and a half. A lot will be happening within that hour and a half. My committee administrator and researcher have put together a calendar coming up, and we hope to let you know 3 days at least before any committee hearing what will be on the agenda, so that if you care to prepare or look at some of the bills that will be heard, you'll have the opportunity to do that. We wanted to give you plenty of notice for that. And because our committee hearing is going to be relatively shorter than we have had in the past, we're going to have a policy that if you do come late to committee and we are in the middle of a discussion and you feel the necessity to ask a question that's already been asked and we've had discussion on, you may be reminded by the chair to that has possibly happened, and that you might want to consider meeting with staff as we move forward with the discussion on that particular item. And I appreciate your consideration of that. Beyond that, our first hearing
Excuse
today.
May I ask a question?
Senator Sharon.
Thank you. This is the first committee that I've had a chance that this has been presented, although I know it's present in other committees. So I just wanted to ask about this. Members that do not notify the chair in advance of their absence shall be marked as absent in the committees. If someone is late for the meeting, are they going to be marked as absent?
No, they won't be.
Okay.
They'll be, when you come in, you'll be marked as present. But if you're absent, you'll be marked as absent. And we will note in the meeting minutes whether you've informed the chair and it's an excused absence, or if it isn't, then it's just absent. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll call on our fiscal analyst, Krista Boyd, to go ahead and do what will be a broad overview of the responsibilities of the Transportation Committee. I previously mentioned that there are 12 divisions, and she'll touch briefly in her presentation on each of them, where we get our money, and I think it's in your packet. But mainly where our budget comes from. And while we are fortunate, I guess, since to some degree that our budget isn't directly tied to the general fund for the most part, we do get a small portion of it from the general fund, mostly for transit issues. Our money is dedicated from different sources, and we'll be going over that and reinforcing that as we go over through a number of committee hearings. But in saying that our money is dedicated, I don't want us for 1 minute to not be thinking about how we can do things efficiently and effectively to get the most bang out of the buck, if you will, for the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota. And what I would very much like is if, as we move forward with policy ideas and budget preparation, that any ideas that you have, that you've heard about in your communities or anywhere, that you would bring them forward if they will make us more efficient and effective in delivering transportation here in the state of Minnesota. With that, I'll turn it over to Krista Boyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a really high-level overview of just sort of the purview of the committee and how a little bit about how transportation finance works in the state or has traditionally worked. So we'll get right to it. Just a brief overview of our primary funding areas in the jurisdiction of the committee. Three main agencies, pretty much all of the Department of Transportation. We appropriate to multimodal systems, state roads, local roads, and then their administrative portion of the agency. Metropolitan Council, those transportation programs including Metro Transit, other contracted transit programs, and their planning portion of the agency. And then Department of Public Safety, We share jurisdiction over that agency with another committee, but ours are, of course, limited to the transportation-related portions of State Patrol, DVS, traffic safety, admin, and then we also have pipeline safety under our purview here. There was meant to be another slide in here, which did not work out very well. I wanted to give you a general overview of where transportation fits within the budget as a whole. So just very briefly, to get a sense of it, when you're looking at a pie chart of the entire state budget, within the all funds piece, transportation represents about 9% of spending, and then general fund is about 0.4-0.5% of general fund spending is in transportation programs. Now, this is just limited, this slide, to transportation appropriations, just to give you an overview of all the funds that we appropriate from the committee and how they look. Obviously, the vast bulk of it is from the Trunk Highway Fund, mostly to MnDOT for their construction and maintenance programs. Next would be county state aid, which is administered through MnDOT and goes out to county state aid roads. Federal is another big piece. Transit assistance, about 8%. Municipal state aid, also administered through the through MnDOT. I should step back and say transit assistance, that piece is split, of course, between Metropolitan Council for Metro Transit and MnDOT for the rural transit programs. General fund, I'll talk about in a second, and then a bunch of special revenue pieces among public safety and transportation. And then this is our breakdown of our general fund appropriations and transportation. I should mention again that these represent numbers from fiscal years 2012 and 13, and these are based on the November 2010 forecast. So these are base appropriations at this point. About three quarters of the general fund appropriations in our committee are made to Metro Transit for operations of their bus and light rail systems, and now North Star as well. Greater Minnesota Transit is another about 20% of the pie. Public safety gets a portion mostly for capital security and some administrative pieces. And then MnDOT other, that's for buildings and other administrative pieces, basically. And this is a slide I like. This is just a piece in time from last fiscal year to give you an overview schema of generally how transportation funding works, at least for roads and bridges. On the top, you see the three major revenue sources to transportation: motor fuel tax or gas tax, 100% of which goes in the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, which is our main fund. Registration tax, again, 100% of that goes in. And I'll talk about these individually later. This is just an overview. And then motor vehicle sales tax, just a portion of that goes into the Highway User Tax Fund. It's 47.5% for the year we're looking at. That, of course, is being phased in so that by fiscal year 12, 60% of MVEST will go to highway user tax and from then on. And then just some other pieces, miscellaneous revenue, mostly investment income and the like. And off the top of highway user tax, we also have some transfers out for collection costs for collecting the various taxes. And then DNR gets some pieces of the gas taxes that's sort of a refund for non-highway uses of gas for snowmobiles, ATVs, things like that. And then you
excuse me, Ms. Boyd. I think we should take questions as they come along,
sure.
And
I'm
if
sorry,
you
yeah.
would allow us that opportunity. Mm-hmm. I see Senator Reinert has a question.
Thank
Senator
you, Mr. Reinert. Chair. Ms. Boyd, just on the motor vehicle sales tax portion, can you delineate between the purchase vehicles and leased vehicles? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a differentiation between the rate as well as allocation.
Right. Motor vehicle sales tax and leasing sales tax are collected differently and treated differently. Motor vehicle sales tax, the rate is escaping me at the moment. Perhaps Ms. Berezovsky can answer, Mr. Chair.
I believe it. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
It's the same as general sales tax,
Senator
is it
Reiner?
Not? Yes. Okay.
Without the legacy amendment addition is my understanding.
Right. Yes.
Thank you.
Six and a half. And then there's a $20 charge on sales tax vehicles as well. Am I correct? Yes, okay, sorry. And then leasing is different. It is the general sales tax rate. They're collected differently. Motor vehicle sales tax is constitutionally dedicated. No more than 60% to the highway user tax fund and no less than 40% to transit assistance By 2012, the general fund appropriation or allocation from this is being phased out. And then that's further statutorily set by the legislature, was done a couple years ago, to be at those precise 60-40 splits. Motor vehicle leasing is collected along with general sales tax. Is not collected as a separate entity. It's estimated every year what the leasing is from reports from dealers and the like. And it's a complicated scenario in statute right now. Originally, the scheme was there was a lower-income motor fuels tax credit put in place in 2008, and that the leasing sales tax was going to pay for that tax credit, and whatever was left was going to be funneled in two pots, 50% to metro counties and then 50% to Greater Minnesota Transit. The tax credit was only in effect for 1 year. It was repealed, so it was in effect for calendar year 2009. And now the money that was dedicated to the tax credit is still being taken off the top and remaining in the general fund. So we're looking at the same amounts of revenue for the two transportation funds. Because leasing has been underperforming and declining, those two transportation funds have not yet received any revenue and aren't projected to until 2014. Got it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And you save me some time later in my presentation. Thank you. Just briefly, these are the four major pieces that the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund goes to, and I'll go over this in more detail later, but the three major road funds, trunk highways, county state aid, municipal state aid, and then some smaller pieces for town roads and bridges and some other purposes, but I'll go into more detail later. So to go over really briefly the three major revenues, gas tax, tab fees, and MVEST. Again, the gas tax is constitutionally required, all of it to be deposited in the highway user tax fund and spent only for highway purposes. The current rate is 25 cents per gallon, which was raised from 20 cents in 2008. The previous increase was from 17 cents 20 years prior in 1988. In the bill in 2008 in which we raised the gas tax 5 cents, we also put on a debt service surcharge that was meant to sort of ramp up as needed to cover the cost of any additional trunk highway debt service. Right now, that's 2.5 cents is the surcharge. Next year, it'll be 3 cents, and the year after that will be 3.5 cents, at which it will stay until the debt service allows it to sort of phase back down. Let's see what else. Just to give you some scope, in fiscal year 10, the gas tax collected approximately $823 million, or as we like to characterize it, how many millions per penny? That's roughly 30.4 millions per penny of tax. So moving on to tab fees, again, 100% of registration tax revenues or tab fees have to be deposited in the Highway User Tax Fund and spent only for highway purposes. These are assessed on passenger vehicles based upon their age and value. There's a base tax of $10 plus 1.25% of their base value subject to a depreciation schedule. That depreciation schedule was last changed in 2008 and hastened, actually, so they depreciate quicker. And again, just some scope that in fiscal year 10 that raised approximately $530 million. I just want to say, I'll refer a lot, obviously, to the 2008 bill, and we commonly refer to that around here as Chapter 152, if you don't know, so I may just throw that out. That was a pretty major bill raising some new transportation revenues for us, so we're still feeling the impact of that in our discussion. Next is MVEST, which has a complicated history, and I thought it was worth it to go over that a bit with you. If you don't know, that until fiscal year 2002, it was just collected and deposited all in the general fund. In fiscal year 2002, Highway User Tax Fund began to receive a percentage of MVEST revenues. That's because in that year, the registration tax was changed so that it was capped and there was a reduction in the revenues. It was capped per vehicle, and there was a reduction in the revenues brought in by that. So to make up for a portion of that lost revenue, Highway User Tax began to receive a portion of MVEST revenues. And then the following year, the legislature did some work on property taxes and eliminated their use for transit operations throughout the state. So another percentage of MVEST was dedicated to sort of make up for that lost revenue to both metro and rural transit programs. So MVEST was split into three at that point. And then by 2006, a constitutional amendment was passed that required 100% of them to be dedicated solely to transportation. The general fund piece of MVEST was phased out. By next year, fiscal year 12, the split will be 60 to highway user tax, 36% to Metro Transit, and 4% to Greater Minnesota Transit. Just really briefly, these next two slides are meant to just give a general picture of how the changes, fluctuations, and also the general magnitude of the three major revenue taxes. Something happened to my T on MVEST there. So you can see approximately 2001, where the vehicle registration tax revenues were reduced and MVEST came in as a revenue source. And again, in 2008, you can see the jump when we made some changes to the vehicle registration taxes and gas taxes in Chapter 152. And then the next slide is more projection in years ahead up to 2015, showing that while there is slight increases in all the major revenue sources, they're very slight. And every, I'll talk about this a little bit later, but every forecast, the growth seems to get a little bit slower. So moving from revenues, if there's no questions, to spending. These are the major transportation funds that we appropriate out of in the committee. They're all constitutionally, they all contain constitutional dedications of transportation revenues. I'll go through them one by one very quickly. The Highway User Tax Fund is sort of the main fund for roads and bridges. It's what other funds it's what all the revenues flow through to the other funds. Again, the Constitution says that 100% of gas tax, 100% of registration tax, and no more than 60% of MVEST revenues go into the Highway User Tax Fund. The distribution is to some degree constitutionally set and some degree statutorily. So the Constitution says that 5% comes off the top and that the legislature can direct that 5% to one of the three major road funds, or one or more of the three major road funds, trunk highway, county state aid, or municipal state aid. And then the legislature sets those percentages to some degree. The current 5% distribution is as follows: 30.5% to town roads, 16% to town bridges, and then about 50% to a flexible highway account, which is then, there are certain subsets within that, and then that is up to the Commissioner of Transportation to determine what funds go to what pieces. Mostly that's been on turnbacks, which, if you don't know, is when a trunk highway is turned back to a city or county, any municipality, and the money is spent on sort of getting that, restoring the highway to a certain degree of use before turned back. This distribution can be changed only once every 6 years in the Constitution, and it was last changed in Chapter 152 in 2008. So we're stuck with it for a little bit now. Then after the 5% is taken off the top, the 95% that's left is split constitutionally, 62 to trunk highway, 29 to county state aid, and 9% to municipal state aid. So the trunk highway fund, it receives 62% of the 95%, so functionally 58.9%, just to make it more confusing. And just to give you some scope, total revenue to the trunk highway fund in the last fiscal year was $1.4 billion, most of that from the highway user tax and those three major revenue sources, but the next largest piece is from federal aid. Any federal aid that comes in from Federal Highway Administration for trunk highway projects goes directly into the trunk highway fund. And then revenue in the trunk highway fund is allocated through, even though the revenue is dedicated, we allocate the revenue through legislative appropriations. Fiscal year 2010, 89%, the vast majority, went to MnDOT for construction and maintenance. 6%, a piece of that, goes to the Department of Public Safety, largely for state patrol activities. And then 5% right now is going to debt service. County State Aid Highway receives functionally 27.5% of the highway user tax major revenues. And then it's split through a statutory formula. It's funneled out, as you can see, there's a split based on 10% goes equally to each county, 10% is based on the number of registrations in each county, 30% based on the number of CASA lane miles, and 50% based on their construction needs.
I've got a question for you later, though.
All right. And these are set through a screening board. This is through MnDOT's Office of State Aid. There's a lot of very complicated calculations that go through determining construction needs and things like that, and they put out a reassessment every year of the distribution formulas. I should mention, I did mean to include this, and it was an oversight on my part. Chapter 152 made this even more complicated, and the new revenues that were raised in Chapter 152 were used in somewhat different formulas. We call it the excess sum. So it's the portion of the gas tax in excess of the 20 cents that was previously. So whatever that 5 and the debt service surcharge brings in, the registration tax revenues that are attributable to the changes in Chapter 152, and then the MVEST changes that are greater than those collected in fiscal year 2007. I don't want to go into too much detail about it, but we call it the excess sum. And those, because of some concerns about the equity of distribution in CASA monies, were distributed a little bit differently. So the excess sum kind of comes off the top, and those are distributed 40% according to vehicle registrations and 60% according to construction needs. And then the rest of the money is distributed according to the old statutory formula here. Sorry to throw all this confusion at you, but I'm available for questions later. Just briefly, this is much simpler by comparison. The Municipal State Aid Street Fund gets about 8.5% of highway user revenues. And these revenues are distributed. They're funneled through MnDOT's Office of State Aid again. Distributed to cities with a population over 5,000. That's about 147 cities in the state right now. And it's very simply, half is based on the city's population and half based on their needs. And that's how the distribution decisions are made. And last of the major funds is the Transit Assistance Fund, which was created after the constitutional amendment was passed in 2006. It receives a portion of MVEST, and like I said, fiscal year 2012, and thereafter we'll be getting 40% of MVEST revenue in transit assistance. Statutorily, it's split 36% to Metro, 4% to rural transit right now. As we talked about, a portion of the motor vehicle leasing sales tax is also dedicated to the Greater Minnesota Transit account within the fund. And as I mentioned, that doesn't seem to be seeing any revenue until 2014 at this point. All the funds in the Transit Assistance Fund are statutorily appropriated to Met Council for Metro Transit and Commissioner of Transportation for Rural Transit. So the committee, aside from seeing how the Transit Assistance Fund is performing, doesn't really do any appropriation in this area directly. Just really briefly about transportation bonding. Trunk highway bonds are only to be used for trunk highway purposes. They are deposited in and paid back out of the trunk highway fund. And this is timely now because MnDOT just put out that new debt management guidelines this past summer that they've been working on. The crux of them, there's some other issues within them, but the crux of them is that debt service should not exceed 20% of annual state revenues. At this point, I think with the current schedule, as you can see, there's $1.6 billion of remaining debt service to be retired in 2020. I believe the highest point is about 17% debt service in fiscal year. I'm going to say it wrong. Let me just remind myself. Fiscal year 2017, I believe. Yeah, fiscal year 2017 is the highest point. So, and we've been lucky in that bids are coming in, construction bids are coming in lower than expected in the past 2 years or so, and that we've gotten good rates on the bonds, and so I think the 17% is good, or I don't know what I'm trying to say. I was going to say that it's probably the maximum we'll see in the next couple of years. Okay, and then general obligation bonds. There are some general obligation bonds. They're generally done in the bonding bill and not in this committee. They're used to fund non-trunk highway transportation projects, such as transitways, rail, local projects, things like that. Federal funding. This is such a complicated subject, I had to summarize it in one slide, so just very briefly. The federal grants that we get for projects are reimbursable, and which means that we lay out the funds for them. We do the work, we bill the Federal Highway Administration, and then we get the money back into whatever fund we build. The reimbursements for trunk highway projects are deposited directly into Trunk Highway Fund. As I said earlier, the revenues last year were about $473 million. There's separate federal funding for all kinds of multimodal projects, transit, rail, aeronautics, local roads. These generally go into the state's federal fund. And then just really briefly about the ERA funding that was passed 2 years ago when we got quite a bump.
from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Over $500 million was given to the state in additional highway and bridge funding, and that has the bids have, or the projects have been going on ongoing since that started. To date, 225 state and local road projects have been put out to bid with this money, with 159 completed, representing about $308 million of the money. I should note that that money is going to end, and the new federal reauthorization has not happened yet. That's still up in the air. So when we look at the projections for federal money, there will be a drop-off when the ERA funds end next year. And then because we don't know what the authorization will look like, we're sort of hovering back at around our old number of about $370 million. But that could change substantially depending on what Congress does. So moving on to transit, and I just have a few slides left, I think. This is just a general overview of Metro Transit, and you get a sense of where the money comes from and where it goes. The bulk of it comes from MVEST, 35%, and then the next hugest piece comes from fares. General fund represents about 20%. Federal funds go directly to Met Council for some transit operations, that's 13%. And then other are things like investment income, local shares, special event contracts, things like that. And then spending, again, the bulk of that, of course, is the bus system. Metro Mobility represents another piece. That's the paratransit for disabled and elderly people. And light rail represents 7% right now. Now, those are just operations for Hiawatha. Operations for Central Corridor will be coming online in a few years. Planning represents another 7%. Suburban transit gets a piece of the spending. These are providers that have chosen to opt out of the Metro Transit system and operate their own systems within the seven-county metro area, but they get a piece of state funding flowing through Metropolitan Transit. And then North Star operations represent about 4% of that. Okay. So just to summarize, the state has two pieces of Metropolitan Transit, MVEST and General Fund. I've talked about a lot of this already. Last year, there were substantial cuts to Metropolitan Transit to help balance the general fund deficit. And you can see last year, the current biennium, the general fund appropriations were a 33% decrease in spending from the biennium before. A lot of that was one-time funds, but there was some substantial base cuts as well. And let's see. And then very briefly, Greater Minnesota Transit Systems operated through MnDOT's Office of Transit. Revenues and spending split again. There's a pretty even split in revenues. They also get a portion of general fund. Local share represents about 27%. MVEST is a quarter of their funds. And then they also get some direct federal grants for transit appropriations. And the spending is just a breakdown of the types of services they offer, the types of areas. Let's see, anything I haven't mentioned on this slide. I've already talked about leasing revenues. I just want to point out the rural transit. MnDOT operates gives grants to these rural transit programs in any of the non-metro counties. There are four currently in Greater Minnesota that have no transit service whatsoever, and eight that have only municipal services, sort of spotty services there. But 68 do have countywide transit service at this point. And then one slide dedicated to DPS. We have four major areas of funding besides administration in DPS. One is driver and vehicle services, and just to give you an idea of how these funds operate, driver and vehicle services has a fee-based operations budget. The fees that they take in that are set in statute for driver's licenses and other title renewals, things like that, flow directly into operating accounts in the special revenue fund and are statutorily appropriated to the commissioner for purposes of their agency. State patrol is funded primarily from the trunk highway fund, except for capital security, which is funded from the general fund. They get a direct appropriation. And then last year, we created a vehicle crimes unit for the state patrol to investigate non-payment of MVEST and vehicle registrations. That is funded from the highway user tax fund, with the understanding being that they would benefit mostly from the activities of the vehicle crimes unit if we get increased revenues. Traffic safety is funded through some small special revenue funds and a small trunk highway appropriation, which is a required match for federal funding. In the next biennium, they're going to get about $75 million in federal grants, which is levied through about $430,000 a year from the trunk highway appropriation. And then pipeline safety, briefly, is funded through federal monies and through pipeline safety inspection fees. That goes right into the special revenue fund and is statutorily appropriated, so we don't often do much with that area. That's pretty much it. This was just an overview, very briefly, to show you how things work traditionally in finance. I also provided a four-page base spreadsheet, and I don't know if your eyes are glazing over and you want me to talk about this, Mr. Chair.
I think by the time we get this handed out, their heads will have cleared a little bit from all of that. But I would appreciate if you would go through what we will typically see the budget come out in is a spreadsheet form like this, and it might be helpful for the members.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I'll ask a quick question. The vehicle crimes appropriation that we made, is there any indication that it has ended up as a net benefit to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund? Do we know yet, or is it too early to tell?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, I believe it's too early. The activities really haven't gotten started, and the office isn't fully functioning yet. So, but I imagine we can get, when we do the DPS budget overview, we can get an update on that.
Great. Thank you.
Senator Hall?
Mr. Chair, I don't see in the presentation, is there any reference to Tiger Grants or funding of the federal funding through the Tiger Grants? And what do we know what MnDOT has applied for in the form of Tiger Grants?
Mr. Chair and Senator, I really couldn't answer that question for you. I can find out for you, or we have people here from MnDOT today. If you'd like to get an answer, we can certainly invite them to the table if the chair wishes.
Senator Hall, we can ask that question of the department. Actually, we'll have the commissioner on Thursday.
Oh, fabulous.
Maybe touch base with him a little bit on that. So,
one other question.
Senator Hall.
Back on slide 11 there, you had where the revenues were derived from. It looks like it's pretty static from 2012 to 2015.
Yeah.
Is there any thoughts or has there been any discussion in the past and prior talks about whether or not that's the right percentages of where that revenue should be derived from, or if there was a shift, would it improve, would it stimulate our economy to have it shifted at all to improve our economic conditions?
Mr. Chair and Senator, if I'm understanding your question correctly, are you talking about looking at additional revenue sources or?
Well, just should it remain static like that, or should there be a shift in where the funds were? If we lowered vehicle registration, would that improve car sales?
Mr. Chair and Senator, I don't believe I could answer that question directly. If we look at recent experience, I should say, in 2008 we removed caps from vehicle registration and accelerated the depreciation schedule. So we did make two changes that kind of counterbalanced each other. But it's also at the mercy of the economy. And right about that time that we were hoping for a huge upswing because of that change, it was just taken out of our hands in 2008. The department could probably answer better than I, the budget chairs from the budget people from the department, but I'm not sure how else to answer your question at this
Thank
point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Okay. Everyone should receive this, and I'm not going to go through it line by line, Mr. Chair, unless you want me to. I just thought it'd be good to give a sense of traditionally how we've appropriated in the committee. Obviously, things are open to change, but in the last few budgets that I've been a part of, this is the breakdown and how the sort of level at which we've appropriated. You'll see in the left-hand column, it's broken down by agency, and then under that, programs such as multimodal systems, and then budget activity within that. And then you'll see the fund we appropriate from. I have some numbers for the previous biennium, and then the base budget carried forward that just came out with a November 2010 forecast. most base budget numbers are based on what was at this point projected in the last fiscal year of the current biennium. So those numbers in fiscal year 2011 will just be carried forward. Some small exceptions to that are the local road funds when we tend to carry forward the projected amounts. So I'm not sure how in-depth you want me to go into this, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Boyd, I guess if there are any questions.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, this is obviously a lot of numbers, very tiny, and if people want to sit with this and ask me questions at any future date, the other thing to note is that in a month and a half, these numbers will be moot. That's why I put preliminary on it to show you that this is how we appropriate traditionally, and these are where the numbers stand right now.
There's no questions. Thank you, Ms. Boyd. Appreciate that presentation. And you'll be seeing a lot of this in bits and pieces as we go through all of the other agencies and departments, and it'll come together. I know it's a lot of information all at one time, but it comes together quite nicely as we start to talk to MnDOT and others, other agencies, and it gets better. So appreciate that, Ms. Boyd. Just wanted to make a quick note before we adjourn here that all of my staff, including the staff researcher and Patrick, the committee administrator, and Crystal, our committee legislative assistant, are all available to all members. We want to be as helpful as we can as we move through this process, and if there's anything that any one of us or any of the staff members can do to help in that, we want to hear from you and want to be able to help. So just a note on that. And then Thursday's agenda, we will start at 1 o'clock, and we will have the commissioner, MnDOT commissioner, Tom Sorrell, here, along with the deputy commissioner, Bernie Arsenal. So that should be a very good hearing, and we'll get some insight into his vision and his plans for the future here. So any other questions, any thoughts? If not, the committee is adjourned.